The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
And as the Lord began to talk to me about a transgenerational work, I heard the Lord begin to say, my people have learned socially transmitted behaviors within their generation. And I've heard the Lord say, I'm looking to redeem the generations. I'm looking to resurrect the original intent. They have learned and responded and navigated. There's been crooks in their road that were never intended to be there for the generation, but there's redemptive gifts on each generation. And there's a calling forth to recognize what each generation offers in order for there to be a unity among the Spirit and the kingdom. You see, I am in no way, shape, or form criticizing the focus on the millennial generation or the Y generation, but I think it would be imbalanced to say it's just them. I think the more accurate picture of the kingdom is it's all of us.
Do you know what your generation has to do with your destiny? God tells us that each one of us is born with a purpose to fulfill, but that may not only be as individuals, but also as a part of our generation. And after all, it makes sense. If we have a destiny and we are also part of a generation, shouldn't our generation have a destiny as well? There have been many books written about birth order that explain the influences on us as people based on the order we were born in within our family. Each person within the family unit typically takes on a different role relative to where we were born. The same could be said about the generations. We are all part of one of those as well, and when you look at where we were born in the timeline of history, this also stamps our future with influence, responsibilities, and characteristics. Today, we want to take a break from our usual format and share with you an amazingly anointed teaching from one of our leaders at Sought Out Global Ministries, Krista Pitcairn. Krista shares a fantastic teaching that explains the specific characteristics of each generation, as well as releases the God-ordained destiny for each one of us within our generation. What is your part? What is your generation's part? Let's find out now as Krista Pitcairn takes us through part one on the generations.
If any of you know me at all, and for those that don't know me well, one thing you will observe quickly is I travel a lot. I travel a ton, and to put it in perspective, I've only been home 16 days this whole summer. So that puts it in perspective, 16 days. Well, actually counting today, 18 days. Forgot to count yesterday and today. 18 days I've been home total for the entire summer. So I'm gone a lot, and what am I doing during that time? It's multiple things. At times, I'm speaking at conferences, churches, different Christian organizations, different events. Other times, I'm visiting family. Other times, I'm visiting friends. Or I'm attending events my friends are doing that I feel like I'm supposed to be there and supporting. So there's a lot of different things I'm doing. I'm definitely in a journey of faith. Prior to this, I was running the School of Ministry in Las Vegas, Nevada at the International Church of Las Vegas, and I was on the pastoral team there, and I've been in full-time ministry for about 9 years now. And in that time, the Lord led me into a season in October 2009, I'm almost coming up on the 2-year anniversary of that, where the Lord said, come away with me. I want a posture of consecration at a new level in your life. I want you to come and get back to the original intent of when I called you to full-time ministry, because you're good at building things, but I want you to build my kingdom. And the Lord brought me back to a place of getting me out of performance mode, because I tend to be that type of personality. I love to achieve. I love to see things grow and multiply. And none of that's negative if it's done with the redemptive gift of Jesus Christ. But it can easily turn into striving and performance when it's done for the accolades of man, which was my motive a lot of my life. You see, words of affirmations, one of my love languages. I love to be told I'm doing a good job. Who doesn't want to be encouraged? Who doesn't want to be affirmed? And again, that is not a negative thing, but if that's your root and your identity, God wants to uproot that, and he wants him to become your identity. He wants him to be your source of affirmation, and all that you do is for his glory, his name, not yours. So the Lord took me 2 years ago into a place of consecration, a place of total surrender, and a place of faith. In an economy, when you want your job, the wise thing would do to keep it, not quit it. but I quit my job, went on total faith, and the speaking has been at times packed and at times really slow. So that means my finances sometimes are good and sometimes not so good. But I have seen the faithfulness of God because I'm absolutely convinced that when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on your life, He will not only pay every bill, He will give you some to give to others because He's an above and beyond God. He's a pouring out, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing Jesus. That is who we serve. I could give you testimony after testimony of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Last week, I felt the Lord take me to Jesus Culture. I had seen the advertisements, I'd heard the rumblings of Jesus Culture Chicago in May, and I had heard the Holy Spirit say, you're supposed to go, and I, to be honest, quickly dismissed it because I thought I don't have the finances to go. Then I was on a road trip across America. My mom was looking through a magazine, and she said, hey, this Jesus Culture, I feel like you're supposed to go there. And I go, oh, I know I'm supposed to go there, but I don't have the money to go there. And instantly the Lord reminds me, I do not move from a place of lack, but I move from a place of fear. I will never let the lack of finances dictate my obedience. Therefore, I got online. I booked my ticket with funds I was waiting to yet receive. And I got that ticket. And last week, I booked it in June last week. I attended it to come into kind of the testimony of that. I had texted a friend. I felt like I just went by myself, and I knew a lot of people were going to be there. Lots of different walks. I've worked with a lot of different organizations in the Christian world, so I knew a lot of people that were going to be there from different facets of my life. I texted a few friends. When my friend said, hey, do you want to share my hotel room for free? And I said, yes, I would love to share your hotel room for free. And I counted on people to get rides. Every time I needed a ride, every session, I got a ride to the read. I mean, it was just like literally God. I was being given food. I mean, it was just incredible. It's the little things, but the big things. God covers everything. Even my shuttle and my hotel got me to the airport there and back. And any of you that travel, you know that's a pretty hefty price a lot of times. Just to get from the airport to your hotel can be expensive. So He covered everything. And I knew I was going there with purpose, and I knew that Jesus Culture Chicago was not an event. That I knew. It's funny for me to say this. I speak at conferences, but I'm not really a huge conference person. Let me put that in context. I'm about people coming together to encounter God. I'm not about events. So if it feels like an event, to be honest, I don't really want anything to do with it. But if it feels like it's a place of encounter, hence the name for August 26th, if it's a place of encounter and He's going to be given permission to move how He wants, I'm there. If it feels like it has spiritual significance, I'm there. Jesus Culture, again, I know I'm past the target age. It's 18 to 25. I'm 35, so I'm a decade past the target audience. Who cares? I have breath in my body, therefore I'm considered qualified in my mind, at least. I go to this event. The Lord speaks to me so clearly. The schedule had not been released. And He says, Reinhard Bonnke session. He was one of the guest speakers. Reinhard Bonnke session. You're going to receive an impartation. And I did not know when Reinhard was to speak. The schedule had not been released. And I was only able to go there for 2 days. It's a 3-day conference. And I was only able to be there the first 2 days due to a prior commitment on that Friday. I had to fly out Friday morning. The schedule gets released. Reinhard is the last session on Thursday night. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm hearing right. I go there the first session. Kim Walker shares. I'm getting wrecked by the simplicity of what she's saying. It's not so much I'm figuring out really quickly by being at Jesus Culture Chicago. It wasn't so much what people were saying. It was what they were bringing in the spirit. It was the essence of what they were saying. It was the impartation of the moment of what God was doing in the spirit. So much greater than a person's words. It was what the portion that they were giving. And right then, session number one, the Lord began to speak to me, and He says, this is a commissioning for the generations. This is not an event. This is a commissioning. Fast forward, Reinhard Bonnke, Thursday night, last session that I'm there. Reinhardt, he begins by this video that I get absolutely wrecked by. I'm weeping. And it's a video, if you don't know of Reinhard Bonnke, he's of German descent. He's 71 years old. And the predominant part of his ministry has been a missionary doing open-air crusades in Africa, the continent of Africa. And he goes all over Africa. And to date, 55 million people have given their lives to the Lord through that ministry. Christ for All Nations is the name of Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. 55 million. And they're showing video of each country within the continent of Africa. And they're showing seas of people. I've never seen anything like this. I cannot see the end of the people that are so hungry for the message of Jesus. I'm sensing the anointing. I sense the presence of God. And I'm getting wrecked by a man that has been so committed to a country that's not his own. I always get wrecked by the missionary heart because they've laid down their own land for someone else's. That is such a powerful example of Jesus to me because it's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was for the Jews and the Gentiles. He went after all, and God sends people. And I just see this incredible anointing off a German man to an African nation. And here, country after country, many I can't even pronounce the names. And it says crazy numbers of 1.5 million registered salvations, 2.6 million. What? I can't even comprehend. And this burning in me because I feel like a missionary to America. I have a calling for my own nation. I have other nations within me, but one of my predominant nations that I feel like the Lord has put within me is America. And as I'm watching that, I'm getting wrecked for Africa. I begin saying, God, what about America? God, what about our nation? I want to see the 2.6 million in Los Angeles come to Jesus. I want to see the 3 million of Washington D.C., the 4 million of New York City. I want to see the major cosmopolitan places in America have a radical transformation. If it can happen in Wales, back with Evan Roberts, where the bars were shut down, and where there was a whole social reformation, why can't the era of reformers come again? And this time, why not us? For the country that has so much, but we're on our knees for a lot of different issues. The crisis of terror, the economy, the violence. Our statistics are up like they've never been in the negative sense. And I see America getting more and more humbled. It's not a bad thing. It's all about how we respond in the moment. As I'm at Jesus Culture, at the end of it, again, what Reinhardt shared was incredible. If you asked me to tell you what he said, I couldn't do it. I don't really know. But I know what he brought. He brought wisdom. He brought a seasoned maturity in the spirit I've only experienced with very few. Here's this 71-year-old man. I feel like a child in the spirit compared to this man. He has such a wealth of the spirit within him. I'm in the presence of greatness. I can just experience the anointing comes through his life. At the end of it, he prays. He says, there's a flame on every single head. Holy Spirit, come and minister to each person. The anointing that came into that place, I've never experienced on a corporate level. Never. Never. And I have been around some really powerful people, and that is no criticism on any of them. But what this man brought in the Spirit is like nothing I've ever experienced. And I just got wrecked. I begin to weep like I've never wept before. I feel a transaction happening in the spirit. I feel the Lord taking things out of me and the Lord putting things in me simultaneously. I felt like the Lord's like, some of this needs to go and then you need this too. And there was just this exchange happening. And I looked around and there is person after person on their knees crying, getting wrecked, encountering the presence of the Lord on a personal level. It was not an event. It was a commissioning in the Spirit. And although Jesus' culture is targeted at 18 to 25 year olds, it was anything but that. I looked around and there was babies to 70 somethings. I mean, it was every group, age group. It was every race. It was every shape and form of a person. I looked around me. It was like a motley crew of the kingdom. And I felt like the Lord says, I'm calling a transgenerational work. It's not about one generation. It's about a transgenerational work. And there has to be unity in the Spirit for what I'm calling in the next move. Prior to Reinhardt's session, Lou Engel had been speaking in the morning. And he said this statement. Now, he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, which I'm not going in that direction at all. But he made a statement that just absolutely resonated with me. And he made the statement, socially transmitted behaviors. Socially transmitted behaviors. And as the Lord began to talk to me about a transgenerational work, I heard the Lord begin to say, my people have learned socially transmitted behaviors within their generation. And I've heard the Lord say, I'm looking to redeem the generations. I'm looking to resurrect the original intent. They have learned and responded and navigated. There's been crooks in their road that were never intended to be there for the generation, but there's redemptive gifts on each generation. And there's a calling forth to recognize what each generation offers in order for there to be a unity among the Spirit and the kingdom. You see, I am in no way, shape, or form criticizing the focus on the millennial generation or the Y generation. But I think it would be imbalanced to say it's just them. I think the more accurate picture of the kingdom is it's all of us. It's all of us. All of us have a portion. So it's interesting. When I'm on planes, which I'm on planes a lot, I find myself so reflective. Something about traveling in planes makes me really reflective. So this statement is just in me. I'm on the plane the next morning to Vegas. I had a wedding. I was doing communion in a wedding on a Saturday. So I was going in for the dress rehearsal on Friday night. And from Chicago to Vegas, it's just in me, socially transmitted behaviors, socially transmitted behaviors. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? What is it? What are you saying with that, God? And God's like, transgenerational work. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? And I begin to do some research. And I begin to look at the generations that are currently alive right now. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to throw at you a lot of information, but I think it's powerful information. Stick with me because I feel like where we're going in the Spirit with this word this morning, we're tapping into some exciting places. What was so powerful, and I do want to say this really quick, Banning, who's a friend of mine, he was putting on the Jesus culture. He's 35. He's a part of Generation X. And Lou Engel, who always releases such a mandate and such a heart, I mean, he's a part of the baby boomers. And then you have Reinhardt Bonnke, who's just incredible. And if I'm correct, let me check the dates on him. He's the baby boom generation, too. He's at the beginning. Cool. Here, this multi-generational event happens, so to speak, in Chicago. But I feel like it's so much bigger than Chicago. Here I am in Roseburg, Oregon. I feel like there's a portion for us here right now. Now, I went back and I started looking at the earlier generation. And I started at 1901. And that's called the GI generation. Now, that's where my grandparents are in the GI generation. Those are the people born between 1901 and 1924. Do we have anyone in this house born in 1901 to 1924? Do we have anyone a part of the GI generation? Anyone? We have one? Yes. I was praying we would have one. I really felt like it was significant that all generations were represented this morning. This is powerful. hey, we will take one because one is powerful. One is what we need. This is the description on this generation. Now, I got most of my research from, let me make sure I'm quoting it correctly. I went online and I was looking at the Strauss Howe generational cycle. These are two men that came together and they released two books. One in 91 called Generations, one in 97 called The Fourth Turning. You can get their books. This is where I'm pulling the research. I did not create this research. I'm pulling from theirs. I went online and I kind of looked at a lot of different sources and I found the happy medium. So these are generalizations, but I feel like they're the most accurate to what I found was out there on a material wise. Okay? So the GI generation born between 1901 and 1924. This is termed the greatest generation to date. These are the people who grew up in the United States during the Great Depression and then went on to fight World War II, as well as those contributed to the war effort on the home front, making a decisive material contribution to the war effort. This generation is sometimes referred to as the GI generation. Tom Brokaw wrote in his 1998 book, The Greatest Generation. I believe it is the greatest generation any society has ever produced. He argued that these men and women fought not for fame and recognition, but because it was the right thing to do. When they came back, they rebuilt America into a superpower. This generation has had a moral compass. They understood they had both moral and civic responsibility to contribute and build a better America. And I kept hearing the Lord, and I felt like when we went through on a redemptive level, which I'm going to get to in a moment, I began to look at the generations. After the GI generation came the silent generation. The silent generation was born between the years of 1925 and 1942. Anyone within that time frame, 1925 to 1942. Come on. Yes, we have quite a few. I love it. That's awesome. Silent generation is labeled for the generation born between 25 and 42, notably during the Great Depression and World War II, and also included the bulk of those who fought during the Korean War. The characteristics of the silent generation were found as grave and fatalistic, conventional, possessing confused morals, expecting disappointment, but desiring faith. And for women, desiring both a career and a family. Most married early, sought stable corporate jobs, and moved into new suburbs. A famous article written about this generation stated, youth today is waiting for the hand of fate to fall on its shoulders, meanwhile working fairly hard and saying almost nothing. The most startling fact about the younger generation and its silence, with some rare exceptions, youth is nowhere near the public platform that is so desired by so many. By comparison with the flaming youth of their fathers and mothers, today's younger generation is still a small flame. It does not issue manifestos, making speeches, or carry posters. It has been called the silent generation. Now, you could hear that and you could be discouraged. Those are what I just read, socially transmitted behaviors. What I just read to you was socially transmitted behaviors. But what God wants to do, he wants to bring a redemptive aspect to that silent generation. And when I began to pray yesterday, I heard, and I want the silent generation to stand up because we're going to rename you this morning. And we're going to say new characteristics over you this morning. So come on, stand. If you were born between 25 and 42, stand up. Stand up.
Ah. What an incredibly inspired message from Krista Pitcairn today on the generations. Be sure to tune in again next week and hear the conclusion of today's message. Krista will be sharing more characteristics of each generation and specifically more details on the baby boomers, as well as the Gen X and Gen Y generations, so you won't want to miss it. If you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, did you know you can do that with a gift to Sought Out Global Ministries? Please accept that as our thank you in exchange for your gift of $25 or more. As you know, Sought Out Global Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and we could not bring you what we feel is anointed Holy Spirit radio without your generosity. We hope that you will prayerfully consider supporting Sought Out Global Radio, and we are always amazingly blessed when you do. Also, if you missed out on our previous program on the Four Harbor Lights of God, a message specifically about the four keys to authenticating when we hear the voice of the Lord, be sure to go to our website, sawdoutglobal.com. Herb has prepared a message that goes into great detail on the Harbor Lights, and we invite you to listen into that, as well as our previous broadcasts, which can be found on our website. Looking ahead at our calendar, our next two larger gatherings will be held in Everett, the first September 27th at Comcast Arena, and then also on October 18th, please join us at New Life Center, as we'll be hosting a regional encounter meeting featuring powerful worship and prophetic ministry. For more information on either event, please go to sawdoutglobal.com. To write us, our address is P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. Sought Out Global Radio also accepts online donations. Just go to our website at sawdoutglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have left. On behalf of Herb and Bethany Marks, Krista Pitcairn, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at sawdoutglobal.com.